Well, we want to read this morning from Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26, as we think about the desire and labor of faith, or the desire and labor for faith. Philippians 1, verse 25 and 26, let us read this together. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for a faithful soldier like Paul, who set a great example for us and what can be accomplished by trusting in you, following you by faith, by desiring to have a New Testament faith and laboring in it, not just coasting, getting by, but laboring in it. That we might all be encouraged today as we look at this message, looking at Abraham as an example and even Sarah, how we can desire to have and use more faith and labor in it. We ask and pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. The desire and labor of faith. You know, Paul had evil desires to wipe out the church. But the moment he got saved, the first words out of his mouth were, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He was ready. His desire was now in the new covenant faith. And now he was ready to labor in it. And, you know, our faith can wax cold during the course of a lifetime. Even as we look at Abraham today, he had two lapses of his faith, momentary lapse, but that did not keep him from accomplishing his desire and labor of faith. And may Abraham and Sarah's story, life story, be an inspiration to us, even in their great old age. What a late journey in life they began with the Lord, and that. We're never too young or too old to accomplish the will of the Lord and pleasing the Lord in our lives. But doesn't it all begin with desire? And no man can give us the desire of faith. It's not even born in us. The Lord gives it to us. The Bible says that God has given to every man the measure of faith. So he has given all men enough faith to believe that he actually is a God who exists. God's done that through his creation, that none are without excuse. He's given every soul on earth a measure of faith to know him and want. And then as people want and receive light, want to receive light, he gives them more light according to their desire. So as we desire to walk with the Lord, the more he increases that desire. And then as we walk away from the Lord at various stages of our life, you know, by that desire, he quickens like a spark, a flame that has gone out, and he sees a spark. He just blows on the spark and fans the flame till it comes back, and then he adds fuel to the fire. And so if we have the smallest desire, even as Jesus said, he said, if a man have a faith as the just simply the size of a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, they are small, then he promised that he would multiply that. God is in the multiplying business. You know, if you think about it, the mighty God who not only owns the universe, he made it. What do we have to offer him? But he's just looking. What we offer to him is simply a token of our faith, whatever it is. And he wants to take that and work with it. He's just looking for something to work with. He's just looking for people that want to move forward with him. And you know, as our faith is, it's always like in quicksand, isn't it? But we see God, we see his big strong hand holding out, and we know we're not going to sink. He may let us sink till we think we're going to sink, but he's there to pull us out. But it's up to us to extend the hand to him. There's salvation. There's the big hand of Christ. Outstretched, nail-pierced hand. All we have to do is hold that hand out. And there he is to pull us out of the quicksand. And that might begin with our first point as we look at desire and labor of faith. Here in verse 25 is the confidence of faith. Paul says, and having this confidence. Faith is what gives us confidence. We know, and the Lord lets us know all through our life, that there is no confidence in ourselves. He allows us to get sick. and perhaps for no other reason, to realize that we're just mortals. And the Hebrew word behind mortal means subject to death. And God just lets us know we're so fragile. We're always, it would seem, only one step between us and death. And our only confidence is to have faith in God. Faith is an abstract, you know. But faith simply means trust, and we all know what trust means. And you don't have trust in yourself, but you have to have trust in someone greater than you. So Abraham, as we begin to look at Abraham and Sarah, look at Abraham's confidence of faith. He was asked to leave his homeland, his family, the ones he's loved. No one was supposed to go with him but his immediate family. He said, because God told him to leave your kindred, leave your family. Oh, what a horrible God you are. Are you kidding me? But as it turned out, not just his immediate family, but his father went with him. And was it his nephew that went with him? Lot. You know, so others did follow him because one man and his wife by obedience, Sarah in obedience, followed her husband's leading. And what do you know? Others followed him. So when we exercise faith, when we use the confidence in God, exercise confidence in him, others will find confidence in him. And that's why the danger is when we don't have confidence, those around us are going to lose their confidence. When one person walks out and leaves a church, they're sure to take someone else with them. And there's always a danger in walking away from God, walking away from the place, the ordained place where you need to be. And Abraham was told, you're not to be in Chaldees anymore. You're not to be in the land of Babylon anymore. You're not to be in Ur, the city of Ur anymore. You are to leave and go to a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell Abraham where he was going. Just go. And so Abraham had great confidence in the Lord and had full faith in him. You know, the Lord appeared to him and gave him instructions. But then by faith, Abraham had to know that though he could not see God, God could see him and was working with him. And you know, God gave him confidence all along. Now, Abraham's journey didn't get out to a great start, you know. Why? Because his faith was small. And it was a considerable time before they ever made it to Canaan. And some suggest that it was the father, that they had to, they stopped in Haran and they had to wait for the father must have taken ill, and they had to wait for him to die so that they could bury him. But the thing is, there was a good long lapse. I don't know the amount of years. We don't need to study all those details. But there was a prolonged period of time before Abraham made it to the land where he was supposed to be. But the whole time, he had got confidence in God that the Lord was leading him in the direction that he needed to go and would ultimately reach that destination. He had confidence in the Lord. And you know, the Lord, like as he appeared to Abraham, and when he told Sarah, it was the same thing. He understood that this is a firsthand experience. The Lord will do things in our lives that builds our confidence up because we don't get to see God. Now, God does appear to us in a mighty, mighty way. Right here, it's His spoken word. He speaks to you just like He spoke to various people in the Bible. He speaks to us through His word. That's an incredible thing. And we take confidence from His word. But God will allow things in our life to happen that builds our confidence in Him, that though we cannot see Him, we sure can trust Him. He gives us confidence, and we are to keep that confidence. So Abraham had confidence in the Lord, left his homeland, and went out not knowing where he was going, is what the Bible tells us. We'll use one verse of trusting Jesus for each of these four points. So we read with the first point, confidence of faith, we read the first verse of trusting Jesus. Simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. You can say that with me each time. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. So our confidence of faith is in God, and we trust Him, though we can't see Him. He allows circumstances in our life. He works in our lives, and we can see, yes, there is a God. And it's just a wonderful thing. And He boosts our confidence along the way. He puts people in our paths. He sends angels. We don't see them either. He does all sorts of things in our lives, answers to prayer, on and on and on, to build our confidence along the way, to let us know, yes, you're still going in the right way. Keep moving forward. Now we look at the continuance of faith. There in verse 25, Paul says, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. Paul had a desire to go visit all manner of churches. He never visited Colossae. He never visited Laodicea. All sorts of churches came up as a result of his preaching, where it would go into one city, it would go into the neighboring cities. He wouldn't take it, but others would take it. And so there were all these churches. He wanted to go see them so badly. The Church of Rome in Spain. In Italy and in Spain, he wanted to go there, but we don't know if he ever went. But he continued. Paul continued in the faith. Looking at Abraham, he continued in the faith. God called Abraham and Sarah to sojourn, that is to dwell, like Paul said, to abide. God called Abraham and Sarah to sojourn, to live in the land of Canaan. And that word sojourn means to stay on the move, that you're not just planting in one place. The Hebrew people were a tent-dwelling people. And the reason is that they would learn to walk with God. The wilderness generation, 40 years, they lived in tents, and God would say, it's time to pull up your little tent stakes. How would they know that? They would see the cloud move, and they know, we must move with the cloud, or the sand is going to get hot underneath our feet. Sometimes in our life, when we're not following God by faith, God will let that sand under our feet heat up so that we know, oh, we need to move on with God. And so Abraham and Sarah wanted to continue in faith. And so, but they were to sojourn in the land, and they were to move as God, it might be a drought. A drought comes here, so they move, they send scouts ahead to look for greener pastures, then they move the flocks in that direction. And Abraham had a lapse in faith when he, in the case of drought, he had to move to a different place, and he moved south in the direction of Abimelech, and lied about Sarah being his sister. It was a half-truth that she was a half-sister, but he lied and said, it's my sister. And he had a momentary lapse of faith, and he took matters into his own hand. And what happened? Everything got worse. Oh, not for Sarah alone. Not for him alone. Now someone's got my wife. It became bad for the whole house of Abimelech. God shut up the wounds where the mothers could no longer have children. No one was getting pregnant. And Abimelech knew that there was a curse, and God told him what was the cause of it. So Abraham caused a curse to come upon a whole group of people because he left his faith. One person decided to leave this church, then two, then three, then four. And look at us now. Our faith is about the size of a little bug crawling on the floor. But before we walk out of this building, our faith can be as big as a hippopotamus, can it? It's easy to catch the disease from someone's lack of faith, from someone's deciding, I'm just going to quit. And you know, it just deflates us. You know, all it takes is a little hole. Did you know you could pop a hole in a balloon if you put tape over it? And it won't leak, but it's amazing. But all it takes is a slow leak, and before you know it, our ship's not sailing anymore. You know, the wind's not blowing. Well, there was a great man of God. I don't recall his name. It may have been Andrew Murray or Murray McShane, but he was traveling to China, but they were in dire straits. Their ship was drifting. There was no wind. This had gone on in the hot summer. This had gone on for an extended amount of time. It was a dire situation, running out of food and water. And the man, the missionary, went down in the belly of the boat and said, God, we need wind in ourselves. Well, he gets a little call later, come on up, missionary. And the sails were full of wind, and the ship was once again back on its destination. God is the one that puts wind in our sails, but how easy it is for us to get discouraged when one person gets discouraged. We are a body. We're the body of Christ. When one member is disaffected, we're all disaffected. So we need to stay together. That is what it's all about. Families need to stay together. When a family fragments, that's a serious problem. In generations past, family members didn't move far away. They stayed in reach of the family. But now, with this modern world, our families are getting more and more fragmented. But God meant for the family of faith to stick together. The family becomes an ailment when people drift away. It becomes a real problem. But we need our faith growing. And yes, it needs repair. Our faith really is in constant need of repair. Abraham did not have one lapse, but he had a second lapse. Unless my memory has lapsed, and that's entirely possible. Please forgive me, church. I have read the Bible from front to cover, word for word, 18 times, but I have not read it front to cover in about 6 years since I wrote my messianic devotional, Honey Out of the Rock, and since I began this Bible commentary I'm writing. So since I stopped reading the Bible through in a year, my memory is not as fresh on things. So what am I doing? I'm encouraging you to read your Bible through in a year. How many people did that last year? Raise your hand. Woo! That's where your faith. That's why you're sitting here. That's practically every hand. We understand that the Bible is our greatest source of faith. Continuance of faith. Continue reading the Bible through. Once you do it once, you want to do it again. It's an incredible thing. Now, God greatly encouraged Abraham when he saw the situation with Abimelech, and Abimelech sent Abraham out with great goods. He multiplied whatever Abraham had before he came into his Abimelech. Abimelech sent him away blessed, meaning we don't want to see you again. We're sending you out blessed. We only want the best for you. We don't want any curses from you or your God. But Abraham was greatly helped in that, to continue in the faith, not to let his faith lapse. So, trusting Jesus. Verse number 2, brightly doth his spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. What else do we have but to trust him? If we don't have that, we have nothing. Now we look at the completion of faith, but that's only our third point. We have a fourth point, and we actually go out of order here. Verse number 25, looking at the middle portion of that, Paul mentions your furtherance of faith, your furtherance and joy of faith, your furtherance of faith. If your faith does not continually go further, you're not going to complete your faith. Now, when do we complete faith's journey? What? When we leave this earth, not until. So we are to continue moving forward. That's the whole point of the tent-dwelling life of Abraham. Sojourning in the land. Ooh, what did Isaac do? Sojourned in the land. What did Jacob do? Third generation, he sojourned in the land. What did the Hebrews do some generations later? They sojourned in tents for 40 years. Until they completed their faith. 40 years later, they completed their faith. What did they do? They entered the promised land. What a long journey. 40-year trek in the woods. The wilderness of that, you know, of that climate is just sand and mountains, right? And you look for trees and pray for trees around the next corner. But the point is, that's a long walk in the bush or the outback, the red center of Australia, 40 years till your journey of faith is complete. But it's the Lord's job to complete that journey of faith. I was sent the obituary notice, picture and everything, of a girl that grew up in my church, 2 years younger than me, went to high school, with her, grade school, high school. She went to my church that I grew up in my whole life, same church, one church all my life growing up. Was diagnosed with a rare brain disease and died 3 months later. Life is short, but God will end our journey when He's ready to end it, and not until. We don't know when our journey is over. It could be tomorrow for any of us. We better be active in faith and moving forward and putting the tent stakes down or pulling them up, whatever God says in our lives, and just doing what we know God wants us to do. And it may have been one God's will for one person to leave the church, but it wasn't His will for four people to leave this church. People just need to learn to do the right thing. Oh, and can I just say, I may have made a mistake. I may have gone one verse too far. And it wasn't wrong, but it wasn't necessary. So I made one little unnecessary mistake. But I'm just like anybody else. I'm nobody. I'm on this side of the lectern, but I'm no different than you. I make mistakes. But why does a preacher get punished more for a mistake than what the person sitting in the pew is? It's not, have mercy on this sinner of a preacher. I'm no greater saint than anybody here. Pray for this preacher, that I might continue in the faith. There is nobody in this building right now that wants to walk out that door more and not come back. That would be me. But I can't do that. Why? Because there's sheep wanting the pure word of God. There's not too many places you can go find that in this community. In fact, that's why several have come here with that testimony. Is that we preach the Bible. I want to have confident faith. It waxes cold at times. I want to continue in the faith so God encourages me. And I want to complete my journey of faith. But I'll probably need a little help, won't I? I'm not going to be able to do that on my own. So God has given us each other for the furtherance of our faith. For the completion of our faith. Abraham had a son in his old age. He was 99 years old. Sarah was about 90. Had a son by Sarah. He completed his journey of faith. He tried to accomplish that in a roundabout way in his own strength. Oh, and it backfired on him. He had a son called Ishmael, became the enemy of the children of Isaac. A big mistake. He probably didn't recognize that maybe in his lifetime, but it came out later. But he completed his faith, had a son by Sarah, and what incredible strengthening of his faith that brought. So the Lord has His time when He completes our faith. See, we're always ready to get to the mountaintop. Oh, I've completed my little temporary journey. In fact, we like that satisfaction of having completed something. Why? So we can sit back and rest a bit. That's not God's plan. No sooner than He gets us to the mountaintop, He sends us back into the valley for a repeat process. Let's do this again. Trust me through the valley and I'll take you slowly up to the mountaintop whenever the opportunity arises. So he wants us to complete our journey of faith. So God has short-term goals for us and He has long-term goals for us. And so God's always in the process of completing our faith. It really is never complete because you know what? We're always over this situation or that situation. We're doubting God. If it's not, but just a little bit, we're doubting God, aren't we? So our faith is never really complete till we stop doubting God. Do we doubt that God could not give us 30 people by year's end, you know? We can't ever seem to reach 30. The day we reach 20, it's already moving backwards. It's just over and over again. I've seen this happen for 15 years. It's just one reason or another. It's not always the same. But it doesn't matter the size of our flock. We have to continue to remember that. It is that the Lord's able to take care of stray sheep as they go in other places. He'll deal with them. We just hope He continues to deal with us and not forsake us as the great shepherd. And complete our faith as a body, a church together that will love and pray for this local church and contribute to it in every single way that it has every possible hope. And as well as in our family lives and in our private lives, that our personal faith will grow, that our faith as a church will grow. And that we can help our missionaries accomplish their goals on the field. And so when you leave your church, you're also leaving your missionaries and just, You know, we lifelines are cut. We need to be sure that we are always in the place where we need to be. You need special permission from God to leave your local church. You really do. That's God's ordained place. Is the place where God's anchored you, where you need to be. Not probably for the rest of your life, but for a season. God will let you know when it's time. You'll know when it's time to move on. So, reading our third verse. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear. If in danger for him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. So, it would seem that the cart's before the horse, but look at this, the cheer of faith. Paul mentions there in verse 25, the joy of faith. And verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in self. No, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again. The cheer of faith. He wanted to come cheer them. They were looking for more cheer. The cheer of faith. Abraham, Sarah was so amazed at the completion of her faith when she had that son in her old age. It was impossible, but yet through God she did it. But then the cheer of faith comes. Now, Abraham was real cheerful when he had Isaac, and then sometime later, we don't know the exact age, probably 25 years later when Isaac is now just left, has just completed his young adulthood, and he's ready to become a full-on adult, age 25. That's what scholars generally agree with, that he was probably around age 25 when God said, go sacrifice him on a mountain that I'll tell you about. Just go that direction. I'll tell you when you get there. I'll show you the mountain, and you go do what I've called you to do. And cheerfully, Abraham went to do this most strange thing. Oh, other cultures did it, human sacrifice, even their own sons or daughters. And he went out with cheer, knowing what? Knowing that he was doing what God called him to do, no matter how strange it was. That's the cheer of faith, is that oftentimes God asks us to do things we don't want to do. We always want to do something really right up our alley. It's something we like to do, our strong suit, thing we like most. But God does everything the exact opposite. He tells you to do something you don't want to do. You don't feel like doing it. You find out, I'm not even capable of doing it. Might be sick in body, or the list goes on. You know, he knows he can accomplish that, but we just need to have cheer and joy of faith. Our faith is to be joyful, knowing that no matter what goes wrong, God's got it all covered and God is able to work it all out. He went cheerfully with his only son, now 25 years of love. Couldn't have loved Isaac more than the day he was born. 25 years later, he's had this love to grow, and now he has to sacrifice him. What was Abraham's? Do we see Abraham's cheer of faith in this process of being asked to do the strangest of all things, sacrifice his only son? He said, God, he told Isaac, God himself will provide a lamb. He was joyful. We don't know when it happened. Perhaps when he saw the mountain afar off, God gave him a vision. Actually, Abraham was called a prophet. He had a vision of Jesus on the cross. But I believe this is actually what happened. And his faith was enlarged that God will provide himself a lamb. So Abraham knew somehow God's going to provide a substitute for my son Isaac. And this thing's going to be incredible. It's going to work out for a large benefit to many peoples. So then that cheery faith was multiplied 100-fold when Abraham gets stopped by an angel. Oh, Abraham, you've shown your faith. You have confident faith, continual faith. completed faith. You've completed. The knife is now drawn back. Your faith is completed. And yes, you've even shown cheer of faith, trusting in God to provide a substitute. And guess where it is? Look behind you, Abraham. Can you see the smile on that old man's face? And I don't know if Isaac could have tilted his head back, bound to the altar, but the cheer of faith that came when they saw that substitute lamb. If you have confident faith, God will continually aid that confidence. If you have the desire to continue in the faith, God will aid that continuance. If you want to complete your faith, God will help you complete it. And if you have a cheery faith, God's going to give you more cheer, more joy. That was Jesus' whole purpose in coming to earth, giving us knowledge and dying for us, giving us inspiration, is that he said, I've come that you might have joy and have it more abundantly. So Abraham's cheery faith was just multiplied. So while, you know, he may have left on that journey with a question mark on his face, he returned with a smile on his face. And he did see, do you look at faith? Abraham told his servants, you can't go any further. Me and Isaac, we're going with the wood and the fire and the knife. And we're going to look for a sacrifice when we get there. And we will return. We're going to that mountain to worship and we will return. And he left his servants there to wait on him at a distance. So Abraham's faith was active. He had the desire of faith and the labor of faith. Think of the labor, the emotional labor he had of faith to go sacrifice his own son. What a labor of faith. But cheer in the process. He was going to give God his only son cheerfully. And the Jews really don't understand why God asked him to do something that he was eventually going to tell them, no, you don't have to do it, but to sacrifice his son. It was to test him to see if he was truly in the covenant. Tithing is somewhat of a test to see if you're in the covenant. You know, it hurts for us to give anyone money because it doesn't work to our benefit. It works to someone else's. And that's true for God. See, it's a test of, do you love others more than yourself? Do you love God more than you love yourself? And so when Abraham gave the most beloved possible thing he could give him, God knew, yes, you're in the covenant. And so God was able 2,000 years later to give his son for the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham. So it was all a test of reciprocal giving. If you'll give me your son, I'll give you mine. And I only have one. Abraham, you have one and I only have one. Will you give me yours? I'll give you mine. And he did. And can you imagine how it all fell into place that day. The confidence of faith. The continuous of faith, the completion of faith, and the cheer of faith. If you let your faith lapse the least little bit, there goes your joy. What does it say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's in the Psalms. So you're wondering, if you have no strength, it's because you have no joy. We have to have joy in the Lord, and you're not going to have joy in the Lord unless you're confident in Him and continuing in Him. And desiring to complete his will for him. The cheer of faith. Trusting him while life shall last. Trusting him till earth be past. Till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus. That is all. And you know, isn't that enough? It's so beautiful. Faith is the one thing God gives every person to get saved. That's how you get saved, by your faith, by placing trust in Jesus. Just like walking across a bridge over a canyon. It's active faith. It's not on the edge, it's walking out on the bridge, the swinging bridge, with missing planks and broken ropes for rails, and you're just trusting Jesus to get you the other side. And he will complete the journey for you. But he just asks us to have faith along the way, trusting Jesus, that is all. And yes, our faith grows small from time to time, but if we have the desire of faith, that we don't want to apostatize from our faith, totally forsake it, but desire that it might stay awake, stay alive, even flourish, and then labor in it. But you know what? If you're not prepared to labor in the faith, you really don't have any desire. The whole desire of faith is to let God use you and accomplish something for Him. That's really what it's all about. The desire and labor of faith. Let's stand and pray. And we all have a desire here today that this church continue to grow. Not only in quantity, but in quality. But we have to labor. This church has a labor. We have to give that our foreign missionaries might continue. Many of them are depending on us. They don't have too much of a support structure financially, and they are depending on us. Think of how God multiplies the money we give. Most of these third world countries that this money goes to, the money is multiplied fourfold, fivefold. Father in heaven, we thank you for faith. The desire and labor of faith. The day you saved us, you gave a desire to us to come to know Jesus more and love Him more and trust Him more. We had a desire to serve you. You put that desire in us. We were glad to be sons, but we were also glad to be servants, Lord. Help us, Lord, when and where our faith grows cold and the desire and the labor fades away. Help us, Lord, rekindle those sparks that it might grow into a mighty flame for you, that we would be pleasing unto you, Lord. Increase our faith, enlarge our faith, continue, help us to our faith to continue, that we would complete our faith journey in this life and be cheerful all the while, all the way. We trust and pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn for the service is hymn number 390, May the Mind of Christ My Savior Live in Me from Day to Day. Let's remain standing as we sing all six verses of our closing hymn.
His beauty.
us close our time now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that we have heard this morning, Lord, how Abraham and Sarah served as examples of faith, the kind of faith that trusts in you, Lord, even when things don't make sense, we don't have all the answers. We do not see what you see, but even so, Lord, we trust in you and exercise that faith. I pray, Lord, even as Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippians, that we will follow his instructions likewise, Lord, that we would continue in the faith, Lord, have a furtherance of our faith, have joy in the faith, and use it as a guide, as something we can trust in, Lord, to have faith in you. Wherever you lead us, Lord, whatever you have for us, Lord, that we will exercise that faith, trusting as you, as hard as it may seem. I pray, Lord, for our time now, Lord, in fellowship, that it will be honoring to you, that we'll have safety and travels home. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.